Hello, my loves, and welcome to a new episode of the Awaken Together podcast. I'm Kat, and today it is just me chatting with you. It's been a long time since I've done a solo episode, and I'm excited to just chat it out with my people. Today, we are going to be talking about a topic that's really important, I feel, and relevant in mine and many of the people I love's lives right now, which is all about detoxifying your life. Recently, I don't know if it's the age that we're at, but I have had one dear friend diagnosed with cancer, and another friend who is being tested for cancer right now. And it's scary. It's scary times. I don't know, we're faced with how common this disease is. It's wild. So hopefully this episode is going to be an empowering one and will allow you to take a look at the toxins in your life and really be able to make conscious decisions, because it really starts with knowledge and awareness. And from there, we can make these changes in our lives to better support our health, our well-being, our longevity, and hopefully inspire others around us to do the same. So detoxing has become a pretty trendy topic, especially in the diet industry, which we are not friends with, when really this process of ridding our bodies of toxins like harsh chemicals, pollutants, alcohol and drugs, pesticides and other substances, it's old as time, really. It's been around forever. And many spiritual practices actually involve detoxing as well. Think the neti pot from India, fasting for religious purposes in all sorts of cultures, shamans and healers who use medicinal properties of herbs and other supplements. Really, it's all about supporting our health by minimizing exposure to harmful products, foods, and habits, really, like smoking, drinking, things like that. So thinking about the body, our livers work really, really hard. That is the main organ in our bodies that works to detoxify us naturally every single day. You can kind of think of our livers as a filter. And when that filter gets bombarded by toxin after toxin from the food that we eat, the cleaning products that we smell and touch and absorb throughout our homes, the makeup that we put on our faces, lotion on our body, the stress that we absorb and endure on a daily basis from work, from the weather, from living this human life, really overall environment. It all gets backed up and it becomes a lot harder for our sweet little livers to do its job. And that's when we experience the unfun things like inflammation, disease, and yeah, even cancer. So when your body's internal systems are able to operate in harmony, it's at its strongest and it's able to do its job best. That's when we feel happy, our guts are kicking, our brains are doing well, healthy, energized, all the goodness that we all strive for. So in our episode today, I'm excited to share more about the most common toxins that we come into contact with on a regular basis, how to prevent toxins from entering your home and your body, and how to remove them from your body once they have been consumed with some simple, small baby steps. And thinking about all this, this episode could easily be 3 hours long plus, but in the name of giving you a little introduction or taste of this topic, as we like to do for you on this pod, I'm going to condense it down. And maybe you'll be inspired to continue your research or connect with me afterwards to go deeper in this journey, because it really is a journey. Before we jump in to those common toxins, I want to share a bit with you about how this idea of detoxifying oneself is really closely tied to yogic principles. You all know that Jen and I are super passionate about the practice of yoga. We're both yoga teachers, and it's really changed both of our lives. And I think this is one of those beautiful examples when we take yoga off the mat. So consider back a couple episodes ago when we were talking about the eight-limbed path to enlightenment. You remember that? Maybe. Thinking back to specifically the second limb of yoga, the niyamas. Here's a little review. I'm going to share the Sanskrit word and then the translation with you. So first one is saucha. Saucha translates to purity. Purity of the body, of the mind, bathing, good hygiene, things like that. Next one is santosha, which is contentment, being happy with what you have. Then tapas. This is, you can kind of think of this as like burning off impurities, heat, that inner fire, transmuting things that no longer serve us into something new. And swadhyaya, which is self-study. And ishvara pranidhana, which is all about surrender. So practicing the niyamas really helps us maintain a positive and healthy environment in which we can really strive, and one that gives us the self-discipline and inner strength that's necessary to progress along the path of yoga and thus our greater lives. Really, the most tactful way to detoxify effectively is adopting sustainable changes through conscious decisions. And, you know, my friends, it all starts with intention. Nothing new there. At the beginning of my yoga classes, I always like to prompt that, like set an intention for your practice this evening. Why do you do what you do? So let's take a moment to think about it as it relates to detoxifying. Like, why would you want to do this? What is your intention behind living a life with minimal toxins around? I can think of a couple. For me, one, living a long, healthy, active, and full life. Feeling confident and energetic in my body, being there for my friends, my family, being able to fully show up in this life and do the things that I want to do and not feel held back by my body or my energy levels or my mind. And I used to think that detoxing meant a crazy crash diet like the Master Cleanse. Anyone remember that? The Master Cleanse diet? I think this was in middle school that this became a big thing. It was literally just water, lemon, and cayenne pepper for like a week or plus straight. So crazy to think about now. Like, what? No. I remember Beyonce doing that when I was in middle school, and obviously it piqued my attention. I think I tried it for like 2 or 3 days because I was in my unhealthy girly mode. And it helped with the bloat and stuff, but I was so hungry and starving. Maybe that can work for you. I'd say just don't do it with the intention that I had, which was doing what Beyonce was doing and thinking that it would make me skinny. Anywho, what I'm going to share couldn't be farther from a crash diet like that. I'm going to share a couple signs that you can think about that can be signs that your body could be holding on to excess toxins. So one, a really common one, is fluid retention. This is bloat. This is when your knuckles, for example, for me sometimes, if I've had a lot of gluten, I can notice like my knuckles, it's hard for me to make a fist. Like there's some pressure and tension in my knuckles. Super weird, but it's something I've learned about myself. And just like bloat around your belly. This is normal around your cycle sometimes. So just try to take all the clues and signs into your mind when thinking about this. If you're experiencing a lot of bloating frequently, that's a sign. Candida, that's a yeast overgrowth within your body. Sugar can cause it really commonly, also gluten, lots of other things too. Another one is skin breakouts. So if your skin is constantly broken out on your face, on your body, another sign that your body might be holding on to excess toxins. Another one is congestion. Congestion is a really common side effect of mold. other things too, common allergens, pollen, things like that. Another one, sore, red, or stinging eyes. Another really common one with allergies that can be from the weather, the changing of the seasons, or like other allergies, like your food, like dryer sheets, you know, your laundry detergent, things like that can also affect that. Waking up hot consistently between the hours of 2 and 4 a.m. Now, this is a super interesting one. This is tied to Ayurvedic principles. I believe that this time of night is when your liver is doing its job. Your liver, your kidneys, those bodily organs that help flush and cleanse our systems. So if you're waking up hot consistently during those times, it could be a sign that your body is working extra hard to detoxify because there's so much there. There's so many toxins. So just pay attention, right? Become aware. Tough PMS symptoms. This could be a really abundance of toxins in your system. Try, you know, ruling out a couple things first and talk with your doctor about it too. Feeling hangry, believe it or not, that can be a sign. Just like getting angry when you're hungry. And conversely, waking up not hungry for breakfast in the morning. I know a lot of people who, I think in college, they'd say that they would just not be hungry for breakfast. And that is a sign that you're not giving your body the right kind of nourishment and fuel and exercise to move that fuel around and help it like properly dispose from your body. So just be aware of that. More digestive problems, constipation, IBS, low energy in general, and a short temper. Truly, like any of these things that just make you feel dysregulated, out of whack, unlike yourself, out of balance, it might not be just you, you know? Like it could be hormonal things, it could be a lot of things, it could also be this buildup of toxins from your environment. So if you're experiencing a few of those symptoms, there's a solid chance that prioritizing some form of detoxification can benefit you. Some benefits of detoxing in general: boosts your mood, decrease common pain and chronic pain and inflammation, decreases your stress and symptoms of depression and anxiety, helps balance your blood sugar, improves your focus and mental clarity, all these good things. It improves your sleep, your energy levels, reduces cravings. Bye-bye, hangriness. It can also support your digestion, gut health, healthy weight, your metabolism, immunity, lymphatic movement, and make your skin look really, really good. We all want that, right? Get that healthy glow. So I'm going to kick us off by sharing about some of the most common toxins that we come into contact with in a really day-to-day basis. And this stuff can get a little heady. I'm going to share some science. So my people who love things backed up by facts and research and studies, this is for you. A report by the British Medical Journal states that it's clear that environmental and lifestyle factors are key determinants of human disease, accounting for perhaps 75% of most cancers. They estimate that Americans have somewhere between 400 and 800 chemicals stored in their bodies, typically in fat cells, which is pretty interesting. So just imagine a typical day, right? Still really, I think, drill this home of just how many things we come into contact with without even realizing it that could be negatively affecting us. So you wake up, you brush your teeth, you wash your face, hop into the shower, use your shampoo, conditioner, body soap. You might also use some shaving cream, contact lens solution, lotion, SPF. Then on your way out the door, you might use a spritz of perfume, cologne. You might have used 10 products before you've even left the house. In fact, the average woman uses 12 products with 168 chemicals daily. Wow. Wow, 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 yikes. And, you know, maybe they're not all bad. Hopefully they're not all bad. But let's bring some awareness to all that. We'll talk through five of the most commonly found toxins. And before we hop into this, I know this is a lot and it can feel a little scary. It can feel like a lot. So I wanted to just pause for a moment and take a couple deep breaths, because this is not meant to scare us. The more we know, sometimes it can feel scary, but it doesn't have to. Knowledge is power. And from this place of awareness, we can do something with it. So pause with me for a moment. Let's take a deep breath in through our noses. Open mouth, exhale, sigh it out. Two more times, deep breath in, fill up, up, up. Let it go. One more time, just like that, breathe it in, all the goodness. And out. So good. Even that deep exhale, when we elongate that exhale, it helps us press out any stale air at the bottom of our lungs, which in turn is helpful with our stress levels and helps that detoxification process. So we're already on our way, honeys. All right, getting into these toxins, starting with our home. One is... we call them really commonly VOCs. This stands for volatile organic compounds. These are truly the most common toxins that we come into contact with. These have been linked to eye and respiratory tract irritation, headaches, dizziness, memory impairment, some visual disorders. Chronic exposure increases the risk of cancer, liver, kidney, and central nervous system damage. Where are these found? These are found really like in our homes. So commonly found in new carpets, interior paints, and plywood, but they can also be found in new plastics and electronic devices, even shampoos, cosmetics, air fresheners, moth repellents. So what can we do about this? Avoid products with high VOC content. Actually look for low VOC and zero VOC paints and finishes for your indoor painting, and buy solid wood, hardboard, or exterior grade plywood in place of pressed wood products. Also, just like good rule of thumb is to establish a no smoking policy in your home. Obviously cigarettes, but even like vapes, all of that. Whenever there's smoke in the air, it's just harder for our lungs. And consider buying antique furniture. The longer that it's been around, like it's actually better for us. That burn off, the gas off is lower by then. It's had time to do so. And conversely, allowing new products that time to off gas off, I think is what I said before, before bringing them into your home. So if you just bought a new stuffed couch, for example, unwrap it, leave it in the garage for a couple of days before bringing it indoors. Seal your particle board or pressed wood with varnish or paint before bringing it indoors. You can kind of smell it, right? These new things. And it just smells a bit unnatural. Even like yoga mats, right? Those new ones like the Lululemon they smell for a while. Like it's not great. I think we intuitively know that. Cool. So the next one we're going to talk about, it's PVCs, and this stands for polyvinyl chloride. This is another really common one. These contain phthalates, which is a class of widely used industrial compounds. There are many phthalates with many uses, and just as many toxicological properties. God, these words. These chemicals are used primarily to lengthen the life of fragrances and soften plastics. The risks with these are not fun, as you can imagine. These have been linked with endocrine system damage. Our endocrine systems are our hormones. Essentially, phthalates chemically mimic hormones and are particularly dangerous to kiddos. Researchers have even associated pregnant women's exposure to phthalates to adverse effects on the genital development of their children. Yikes. Really freaky. These risks can even prevail in low dose exposure. So especially our mamas, our people, growing tiny humans, great time to really consider these toxins. And here's where you can kind of find these the most. Plastic wrap. Get rid of it. Just do away with it. Glass is much better. Silver foil even is better. Plastic bottles. We do not want to be drinking out of plastic bottles. Glass is best. The BPA-free, if you're going to do like the better plastic, like that's a good one to look for. But really glass, stainless steel, it's just safer. Plastic food storage containers, again, go for the glass. These can leach phthalates into your food. So PVC is in some consumer products as well, like vinyl flooring, drapes, wall coverings, baby toys, how rude, shower curtains, blow up air mattresses, cosmetics, and other fixatives. How to minimize your exposure of this kind? One, check the labels of products to ensure that they are phthalate-free or PVC-free. Good face washes and other products will actually say this on the bottle, so look for that. Avoid eating food stored or microwaved in PVC plastics, or any plastic if you're like, which are PVC plastics? Look for the recycling code number 3 or V to spot PVC products before they enter your home. Recycling code number 3 or V, that is your sign. And keep indoor rooms well ventilated. What do I mean by that? Open your windows. Open your windows. Get some fresh air in. Get fans going. We sleep with an air purifier in our room every single night. And be sure to change that filter whenever it says so. It takes like, I don't know, 6 months, even up to a year for certain kinds of air purifiers. But it is worth it. I'm telling you, the air we breathe, it's inside the home is dirtier than outside the home. Believe it or not. They've done studies. Pretty wild. Okay, so that wraps up our second kind of most common toxins, PVCs. Moving into our next kind of most common toxin. And this one is found in both food and your home. It's pesticides. According to the EPA, 60% of herbicides, 90% of fungicides, and 30% of insecticides are known to be carcinogenic. Shocker. Right. The most shocking part, I think, is that pesticide residues have been detected in anywhere between 50 to 95% of U.S. foods, depending on the item. This is just so messed up, right? It's like the U.S. Farming culture, just the regulations that or lack thereof that we have here compared to Europe and other countries where they do a really good job of regulating all this. It's hard. There's a lot of risks associated with pesticides. One, back to the eyes, irritation of your eyes, your nose, your throat, damage to your central nervous system and kidneys, increased risk of, you guessed it, cancer, Parkinson's disease, miscarriage, nerve damage, birth defects, and blocking the absorption of food nutrients. And my friends, I know it is expensive to eat organic all the time. I don't do it all the time myself as a health coach. And I try to be really realistic and conscious, because money, unfortunately, is a thing. It is an energetic exchange, and it's also something that is just like a really real third world issue that we have to work with and live with and work for. So thinking about this, there's something called the Dirty Dozen. There are particular foods that are better to eat organic than others because they are more sprayed with pesticides than others. So thinking about this Dirty Dozen, it's this list of 12 rotating fruits and vegetables, a list of them that you can find online. If you just look it up, Google Dirty Dozen, that the year's dirtiest dozen fruits and veggies will be shown. So when I made this list, the Dirty Dozen, and these are usually the same ones, they kind of alternate in order, but they usually don't change a lot. Number one, strawberries. Strawberries are kind of porous, right? It's not a hard surface like an orange where there is a protective layer like bananas, right? Those I rarely buy organic. If there's a tiny price difference, then I might just go ahead and buy organic. But if it's like, I don't know, 20 cents different even, I'm like, I don't, those, it doesn't bother me as much. But back to the Dirty Dozen, strawberries, spinach, kale, nectarines, apples, grapes, cherries, peaches, pears, peppers, celery, tomatoes. To give you an idea, those all have that like thin coating, if a coating at all. Our greens are really susceptible to being pesticide sprayed. So hopefully that gives you an idea of things to really focus on buying organic. Next up, minimize exposure from pesticides with a couple simple steps. One, establish a no-shoes policy in your home, right? This is really simple. Probably the simplest way to keep outdoor pesticides, especially long chemicals, outside of your home. Now, this will also reduce the need for home cleaning, which is an added benefit. It's a whole other category of environmental toxins from traditional cleaning products that you'll avoid more of too. And yeah, just buying fresh organic produce, growing your own in a simple backyard garden, a little herb garden in your home even. There's just such a beautiful connection that we can have to our food when we grow it ourselves. So next up, this is going to be, I think I have two more kinds of toxins to share with you. These last two are a little bit quicker. This next one is dioxins. This one's animal fats. Over 95% of dioxin exposures come from eating commercial animal fats. 23% is from milk and dairy alone, and the other large sources of exposure are from beef, fish, pork, poultry, and eggs. And cigarette smoke also contains small amounts of dioxins. The risks to this, again, cancer, reproductive and developmental disorders, skin rashes, skin discoloration, and liver damage. No fun. How to minimize your exposure to dioxins? One, follow existing federal dietary guidelines to reduce fat consumption. So, you know, maybe don't eat a burger often or steak. Just reduce your consumption of meat and dairy products as a whole. That'll help you feeling better in many ways, I think, inside out, and you'll know that you're reducing that potential to dioxin exposure. Also, avoid burning materials containing chlorine like plastics and wood treated with PCP. Finally, heavy metals. So metals like arsenic, mercury, lead, aluminum, cadmium, these are pretty prevalent in many areas of our environment, believe it or not. And they can accumulate in soft tissues of our body. Risks to this, you guessed it, cancer again. Neurological disorders, Alzheimer's, foggy head, fatigue, nausea, vomiting, decreased production of red and white blood cells, abnormal heart rhythm, and damage to blood cells. Now, what are our sources of heavy metals? drinking water, believe it or not. This is why it's so great to filter out our water. Again, we're staying away from plastic bottled water, but getting something like a Brita that filters out lead, that's going to be huge. Some seafood have heavy metals like lead again, like tuna is a common one. There's mercury commonly. Vaccines, certain ones, just being, you know, mindful of not overloading our systems, especially all at once. Pesticides, preserved wood, deodorant, there's that aluminum. Go for that natural kind. Your body, you know, not everyone's, but many times your body gets used to it. The decreased sweat levels and the smell, like, well, for me anyway, it's not so bad. There's also some other remedies that can help with that too. But building materials, chlorine plants, lead paints, all that. How to minimize your exposure. Use cold water for drinking, making tea or coffee, and cooking. When we use hot water just from the tap, that is actually more likely to be tainted with these heavy metals. So when you are pouring your pasta water, when you're brushing your teeth, when you're making, you know, a beverage, use cold water. Really simple, but important. Avoid fish high in mercury, like king mackerel, tilefish, swordfish, shark. I don't know who's really eating all that, but swordfish is common. And try to limit your consumption of tuna, especially steaks and canned white albacore. These tend to have the most. If your home was built before 1978, like mine, check for lead paint. They have to let you know about this when you buy the house. Avoid buying products made from PFC, such as Teflon cookware and Scotch Guard. And just to back up, they have to tell you about the lead paint if they know about it. So they might not know about it, and that is when it's worth getting it tested, especially if you're looking to raise kids in your home. And finally, avoid using treated wood on decks or children's play structures. Okay, that's a lot. Bottom line, having the awareness of what you bring into your home, plus the intention to live a more pure, healthy life, will cause your actions to just naturally align with your goals, right? The more natural, the better. It always has been. It always will be. You know, I always like to think about how you wouldn't put an energy drink into your car's gas tank and expect it to perform properly. So why should we ask that of our own bodies? You with me? So again, which organ is primarily responsible for removing toxins from our body? The liver, also your kidneys, gut, skin, lungs, they also get in on the action. A couple things interfere with liver function: alcohol, caffeine, synthetic substances like medication, pesticides, trans fats, refined sugars, infection, viruses. So here are a couple ways to prevent these things from getting into your system and your home altogether. I've mentioned a couple of them, and so hopefully a lot of this is just a review. This is a good time to even like pause the pod, get out a piece of paper and pen, or just jot some notes in your phone. This is good stuff, I promise. One, filter your tap water. Don't drink bottled waters. Two, less plastic, more glass. Three, air out your house, open your windows. Four, swap out your personal care items like deodorant and toothpaste for more natural ones without aluminum or heavy metals. And you know, my friends, start small. There's no need to throw everything out right now, but rather when you run out of something, you know, just swap it out for a cleaner option. Clean beauty products may cause you to freak out at first. That could be part of the detoxifying process. takes about 3 to 4 weeks to detoxify through personal care products. So just keep that in mind. Use your gut, use your instincts. If it's feeling like a rash, that's very different. Same goes for natural cleaning products. Next, keep electronics away from you when you sleep. I put my phone on airplane mode and I try to put it on a different plane than my head. So either below me, I try to keep it on the floor. I don't really put it above me. I don't know. That's just my way, my process. Less EMFs and just the Wi-Fi, the 4G. I don't know. I believe it and I don't sometimes, but it can't hurt, right? Less, I think it's also really intuitive on that note to not hold a cell phone near a baby's head. So why would we have it next to our heads while we sleep all night, every night, right? Think about it. Next, to strengthen the liver, a couple steps. Cut back on your meat and dairy intake. Eat organic or start your own organic vegetable garden this summer. Reduce sugar intake and processed foods. Limit your alcohol and caffeine intake. And finally, eat antioxidant-rich foods. Foods that are high in pre and probiotics. These are really good for our guts and make our systems really happy. Okay, finally. How to detoxify your body. These are 5 simple steps, and you might be doing some of them already. Number 1, get a massage or practice yoga. Things like twists, things like actually moving our flesh, our fascia, our organs around, this helps get rid of all that like stuckness in our organs and just helps with flow, helps things move and release. 2, sweat it out. Sweat it out, go to a hot yoga class, go to a sauna. When sweat leaves our body, it also releases toxins with it. 3, drink a lot of filtered water. We have to replenish that water we're sweating out. A good rule of thumb is to drink half your body weight in ounces each day. Even better, squeeze some fresh lemon into your water. That will really help too. And drink water between your meals. One tip is to not drink during your meals so that you're helping your stomach acid break down what it needs to digest. So after you eat, before you eat, ideally not while you're eating. Little pro tip. 4, focus on sleeping 7 to 9 hours a night. This depends on the individual, how much you need. You probably know if you're closer to that 7 or you're closer to that 9. Yoga and meditation can help a ton with this. Just mindfulness in general can help you sleep. And 5, minimize processed foods and add certain foods and herbs into your diet. A couple examples, sulfur-containing foods. Foods that are high in sulfur, such as onions, broccoli, and garlic, enhance the excretion of heavy metals in your system. Magical, right? Next, try out chlorella. Chlorella is a type of algae that has tons of nutritional benefits, and it can also enhance the elimination of toxins. And a 3rd one, flavored dishes with cilantro. Some of us might hate it, some of us might love it, but cilantro, take it for what you like. It enhances the excretion of certain toxins like heavy metals, lead, chemicals, phthalates, insecticides, all that. So it's really good for us. And some common reactions that you might experience while you're detoxing are kind of similar to the things that you might be experiencing when you need to detox. So the more that like this stuff is flowing, you might get a little bit irritable, some breakouts, some constipation, bloating, fuzziness. It's all a part of the process. But if you're sticking with it, if it's working for you, it will probably take like a couple weeks for your body to get all that shit, all that gook out, and you'll be feeling a lot lighter. And of course, this is so bio-individual. This is so based on the individual and what your body needs. So talk with your doctor, talk with a health coach, talk with a nutritionist. This is a lot of info I didn't even get into how to detoxify your life energetically, including detoxifying your mind. And that's a lot of what I cover with my clients one-on-one in health coaching. What do I mean by this? Detoxifying your mind. One, cutting out negative people in your life, literally and metaphorically. cleaning out your closet, leaving a toxic work environment, things like that. And I know I share a lot about the what today, a little bit about the how, but really in health coaching, in the work that you can do with a medical professional, you'd focus on the how to integrate these changes into your life to create a sustainable life change for you that boosts your energy, raises your vibration, so you can feel your absolute best. Okay? So what is something that you're going to commit to do to detoxify your life? Start small, baby steps. Maybe something like yoga 2 or 3 times a week. Maybe going to a sauna once a week. Maybe, you know, just practicing some twisting at home, some gentle stretching, breathing. When we're doing all of that, we're revitalizing our kidneys, our lungs, our organs. And if you're looking for some ways to plug in, better your overall health and well-being, you can find me on Instagram. I am at Katerina_Erickson, KATERINA_ERICKSON. That's my personal IG. And you can always find us, our podcast, at Awaken Together Podcast on Instagram as well. We have some fun things coming up. Jen and I have 2 spots left on our witch retreat coming up this October in Salem. It is going to be from the 17th to the 20th, and we are so freaking stoked. It's going to be magical. It's our 4th retreat that we've led together, I think maybe 5th even at this point, but there's going to be yoga every day, lots of beautiful coven connection, energy work, psychic abilities, crystal play, exploring magical Salem Mass in October, which is a whole experience itself. If you haven't done it sometime in your life and you're into our witchy magic, I highly recommend it. And yeah, just let us know what questions you have. This is all for you. I hope that you found this episode insightful. Again, I could go on and on and on about this stuff. My mom had cancer when I was in college. She recovered. And I've just been super passionate about helping others lead a healthy lifestyle, free of toxins and just minimizing and awareness and everything just to help us live our best lives. So sending you so much love. You've got this. Let me know how it goes for you and what changes you're going to make. So much love for you all. See you next time.